If you could have the greatest prayer warrior in all of history with you to help you in your prayer time, to help you pray for souls, pray for revival, pray for your family, pray for personal issues, who would you pick? Listen, this is Russ with Preemption Broadcast. This is a special broadcast for the students in the class confronting the powers through the Great Commission. And listen, I want to say to all the students, again, welcome, and thinking about you, praying for you by name every single week. And you keep us in prayer, and prayer is where all the action is. So said John Wesley, who rocked England for the kingdom of God and for Christ. If you had to choose somebody to be your great prayer partner, somebody to help you, somebody to be with you, somebody that could just really guide you, listen, we have in the scriptures, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, a tremendous verse that says simply this: this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Akuo, He hears us. He hearkens to our call and our cry. And then it says, and if we know that He hears us, we also know. Hoida, Greek word meaning it's just simply a fact. It's just simply a fact. We know that we will have the requests we ask of him. Now listen, that's a very powerful verse, a great verse to memorize there in 1 John 5:13. And I want to encourage you to do that, because, you know, memorization of the scriptures is a powerful tool in the process of praying. And the Spirit of God is going to be your greatest prayer partner in all of history, in all of your life. You can look at some people and think, man, these are folks that have really helped me. I've watched this person pray, or heard that man pray, or heard this woman pray. Boy, can they pray. Now, I want to tell you something. We had taken in a young man off the streets, living in his truck, to live in our home with us years ago. And we led him to Christ and worked with him over the time, my wife and I. And I asked him one time, because he had been abused, been through all kinds of things and drugs and stuff, but, you know, he's been walking with the Lord and learning and growing and going to church and just being a part of our household. We loved him then, and we love him to this very day. And Angelo was his name, and we asked one time at dinner, we said, Angelo, you know, we've been praying for all the food all the time and all the different things. Why don't you go ahead and lead out in prayer over the food? So in his natural and normal way, Angelo bowed his head, and he just simply said these words: thanks, man. He addressed God, and he simply just said simply, thanks, man. And he looked up at me, and he smiled. And I knew that's about the best he could do at that point. But the great news is this, that when we're birthed into the kingdom of God by being born again of the Spirit of the Lord, we've been given the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry out, Abba, Father. That is in the book of Romans chapter 8. We cry out, not the spirit of bondage and to fear, the spirit of life, the spirit of power, the spirit of grace, the very spirit of God. Your body, dear Christian, dear student, is the temple of the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Your body is sacred, and now the Spirit of God is communicating to you and mediating into your life the living Christ. And so you have fellowship with the living Christ, and you have a inseparable, unbroken, listen, and even an unceasing connection, fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God has been sent and given to you as a gift when you repented and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God has come to displace, by the work of Jesus on the cross, the old sin nature, and plant into your life the new nature, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Spirit of God is there to communicate and bear witness. I mean, you need to study more and more the work of the Holy Spirit, as we read in the Scriptures, John chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And Jesus unveils this another counselor, a comforter, This is the spirit of fire. This is the spirit of God. This is the spirit of power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The spirit of power is evidenced by the very presence of his fiery power in your life to liberate you to be a witness for Christ and to speak out for Jesus Christ. The sons and daughters, yeah, they're going to cry out. They're going to prophesy. They're going to speak forth. And you're one of those. You're a student in a powerful little course simply called Confronting the Powers. God had to do that at the cross. He's done that ever since the fall of the human race. He'll do that in the very end when he, the Lord Jesus, returns visibly to the earth. But until that time, listen, we've got a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ called the Great Commission to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, all ethnos is the Greek word, and all the different people. Go to the highways and byways, every single soul. Listen, Jesus said it in Luke's Gospel, the last chapter, you shall receive power from on high. Again, referring to the Holy Spirit. Or you can read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 7, when Jesus cried out, and he just said, anybody who's thirsty would believe in him, as the scripture has said, out of his inmost being would flow rivers, streams of living water. He was referring to the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you something. How is the Holy Spirit affecting you in your life? Listen, have you surrendered to his presence inside of you, acknowledged? That's what it says in the book of Corinthians, both to the body of Christ as a collective body, but also as individuals. Know ye not that your body is a temple, a naos, of the Holy Spirit whom God has given you. Listen, let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're simply told in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are commanded to do not put out the Spirit's fire. The assumption the Spirit of God in your life as a believer is going to be a fire of joy, a grace, and mercy in your life, pointing you to Jesus Christ, revealing Jesus Christ, exalting Jesus Christ, taking from what is Jesus's, and ministering to you. You know, one of the evidences I want to tell you about concerning being filled with the Spirit of God, a lot of people talk about evidences and so forth. I think there's at least six great observable evidences of a real Spirit-filled believer. And the number one evidence is that Jesus is seen all over you. I mean, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He is central. He is on your lips. He is real. You're fellowshipping. When you worship, you're embracing him. He is the living Christ with you. Jesus said, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. And so you and I as a believer, as we are filled with the Spirit of God, it's like what happens when you take a bucket of gas and you throw it on a fire. What is more observable? When the gas hits the fire, the flames, that very fire, all of a sudden bursts forth and you see it. Listen, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are clothed in power, when we are soaked in the Holy Spirit of God, Christ is seen and heard and echoed out of our hearts and lives. And if there's any other reason why you'd want to be filled with the Spirit of God, be filled with the fire of God, it is to have Jesus Christ consciously near and real and precious to you. Well, dear students and dear friends, your brother in Christ simply says this, that it means everything in your life and in my life that we have the fire and presence and power of God. We just simply do. We need, and we cannot live the Christian life without the presence of God or be effective in any way. So if you're going to have a great prayer partner, listen, in the Old Testament, he's called the Spirit of Prayer and Supplication. He is the Spirit of Intercession. May I tell you something? If there's anybody who knows all the needs of the people around you, the people in your workplace and school and in your home, if he knows all the needs of things going on in your city, the things in your church, here's God the Holy Spirit, the infinite Spirit of God. There is nothing that escapes his knowledge. He is God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you. And let me tell you right now that as you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and as you have, you know, Christ mediated into your life by his very presence, you and I, as believers in Jesus, We can worship at any moment. We can build ourselves up in faith at any moment. We can preach the Word of God to ourselves at any moment. You can live for Christ. You're free in Christ from the powers of sin, the world around you, and Satan himself. No, listen, you have so many things in Christ. The Spirit of God is our great friend. And right now, let's just have a prayer and recognition. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply just raise our hearts, our voices to you to acknowledge the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are grateful to you, God, that you have given to us the Spirit of the Lord. We are grateful that you have cleansed us by the blood of Christ and can put into us the righteousness of Christ and the very nature of Christ. And you can put into our lives the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cleansing, the perfect cleansing of the blood and the righteousness that you give freely by grace. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. We knock and cry out, Abba, Father, we know you. We know you, Father, we know you. And we know you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now know the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the birthmark, Father, as a believer. And so we just simply cry, oh, teach us more, fill us more, clothe us, God, saturate us. As Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, that you might give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus even better. Holy Spirit, we apologize for the lack of faith and obedience. We apologize that we have not yielded and recognized your presence, that we have offended you and that we have grieved you and that we have quenched you so many times. We come now, though, to ask, oh God, teach us how not to put out the Spirit's fire. Thank you for putting a fire in our lives, the fire of God, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, this is a course podcast concerning the organization Shadow of the Darkness, and part of what we are all about is, again, the Great Commission. And part of our delving into the world around us today with all the New Agers and all of the spiritual confusion and all of the other ramping up of the dark side, we need to ramp up to the gills of the grace and mercies and so forth of the Lord, and also of the armament, because our warfare is not, we don't use weapons of this world. No, not at all. We have other weapons, and part of our praying is grace and mercies and compassion and pouring out our prayers for the world around us. As you're maybe you're doing that on the prayer map already. Maybe you're beginning to do that and give yourself to God in prayer. And you've got to give him time. You've got to give him the yieldedness. You've got to get before the Lord. This is experiential. You can't just, read a book and just know it all that way. You've got to get before the Lord and experience it for yourself and walk with the Lord and just, step out in faith and trust. So right now, again, Father, thank you for the Spirit of God. I pray for every student listening, for anyone who gets this simple teaching, God, concerning the work of the Spirit of God as fire in the area of prayer, that we all just be saturated and on fire and to learn, God, in the midst of our prayer life, how the Holy Spirit can help us. So, Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We pray right now, Father, you will just guide us and direct us. And we just pray for the powerful, just mighty Holy Spirit of God to guide us in our prayers supernaturally, God, even as we're doing this simple podcast. You'll lead us because you know the needs of every single student out there. You can give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You can give anything concerning all of the issues of people's lives. Listen, I'm telling you that we need to be able to pray in the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, read it in context concerning the armor of God. It continues. It doesn't stop, at that last point about the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. It continues that we're to pray in the Spirit. That's locative in the Greek, meaning locative of spear, in the spear realm, power, a burden, guidance, and direction of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I tell you one thing, the Holy Spirit is not apathetic, the Holy Spirit is not lazy, the Holy Spirit, he is a fire. And so you've been asked to read, and anybody who gets a chance to read to fuel your own fire is the book called Prayer on Fire. You can go to Amazon.com, you can go to any Christian bookstore to get it. Just simply, again, something to help fuel the fire in your life and give some teaching. But again, you got to get out on the field. You got to put your knees to the mat. You got to begin to pour out the prayers, both in your quiet time, like an hour at a time, or when you're walking down the street and the Holy Spirit nudges you to pray for somebody, or woken up in the middle of the night and you're woken up to pray about something. Maybe it's cultic warfare coming in against you, and you got to pray against it. And the Holy Spirit's woke, you know, he woke you up for that purpose. Listen, we in the body of Christ need to be woken up how we can pray for one another. It's pathetic on Sunday mornings to see in churches who's praying. Who's praying anymore? Listen, if you study, and I challenge you to study Acts chapter 4. Look how the body of Christ gathered together. They lifted and raised their voices together to God in prayer. Did you get it? Don't be some loner all by yourself. Pray that God gives you people. God baptized you by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Whether you're in a home church, a group, a prayer meeting, a local church building, whatever it may be, you are baptized in the body of Christ, and God has willed that you be a part of the family of God so that you can have your part in both receiving and in giving. Listen, there's too many people just receiving. We got to give, man. We got to lay down our lives one for another. Do I hear an amen? Thank you. I heard that. I see that hand, as all the preachers say, right? Well, listen. As you look over the study page, and if you have the book in front of you, you can even take that and look through it. But we did come up with a number of just little questions that we had that we wanted you to use that book and get into that and trust that the Holy Spirit would communicate things and set you on fire. And again, put your knees to the mat, put you out on the field so that you could begin to pray, so that you could begin to pour out prayer, so that from the beginning to the end, all of your prayers saturated, guided, directed by the Spirit of God. Well, listen, let me just tell you right now that, just three things, just simply this. Just repent of all the sin in our own personal lives, all the apathy, all the disobedience and unbelief. Let's just stop the madness. Stop the sin. And surrender to Jesus as Lord and King and righteous. You know, every single thing of His, believe the Word of God, believe Him, thrust your faith into Christ and the Word of God. Yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your heart to obedience to the Great Commission and ask Him to clothe you, fill you, saturate you, soak you with the Spirit of God and fire and power, and accept that by faith He will do that, and you will see that in your personal worship, in your life, in your studying. Man, you will see it in your prayer, in your witness. The Spirit of God, if you allow Him to operate in your life through faith in Christ and obedience, He will drive out and burn out all the fear and turn you into something powerful in the hands of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that right now, student. You know what a student is? In my view, I'm just simply a disciple of Jesus. That's all we are. All the titles we get and all the different things we think we are, all the little hats we want to put on, we're just a disciple of the King. What could be more powerful, more meaningful, more valuable than that? A disciple. Jesus said we can't even be His disciple if we don't take up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. You can't allow the Holy Spirit to operate you in power if yourself is running all over the place. So repent of every sin. Let the Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit give us, every one of us, personal revival so we can live daily. You don't have to wait for the rest of the body of Christ. You don't have to wait for revival to strike your nation. Jesus is alive right now. You don't have to let the fire go out at all. In the book of Acts for 30 years, let me tell you something. You can study it for yourself. Challenge me on this if you want. But I'm going to tell you something you might never heard before in your life. In the first 30 years of the church, that's the book of Acts, 30-year history. In all the praying and miracles and wonders and souls saved and everything else going on, they never prayed for revival because they never needed it. Because Acts 5:42 says they never stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus was the Christ, going from house to house to the temple courts, they just didn't stop. Every Spirit-filled person in the book of Acts was a witness for Christ. Every Spirit-filled witness for Jesus Christ in the book of Acts had miraculous manifestation and help and presence of the Lord in their work. So when I tell you about this, I'm not telling you to become just a prayer. Prayer is the tool. It's the tool that helps us win the world. It's the tool that helps defeat Satan's works. It's the tool that Well, it's the blessing that God has given us to communicate to Him. Didn't Jesus say these words? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. As a matter of fact, he said that, you know, in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, it also incorporates, you know, another part of what Jesus said. After he said, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, the door will be open. Then he says this, everyone that asks receives. Everybody that seeks, you know, will find. And to the one that knocks, the door will be open. He goes on to talk about how, you know, hey, listen, if you being a person that would, your child or any little child, ask you for a piece of bread, and what are you going to do, give him a razor blade? Give him a scorpion? You'd be insane to do something like that. No. You know, as a father, in 15 years of raising up a daughter, I've never done anything like that in my life. Jesus said, you then being evil know how to give good gifts. How much, look at the contrast. How much more your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, give good gifts to them that ask. How much more? How much more is there? Have you read that in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 when Paul says, starting in verse 14, that he says, I kneel before the Father for whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name, our connection to the living body in heaven and the living body on earth. He's kneeling down to the Father and praying that the Ephesian believers who were discouraged would be encouraged with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God mediated by the Spirit of God, striking the inner man of their life so that Christ, the living Christ, would just dwell in them, live in them. They'd be on fire. That they would comprehend, they would know, they would grasp the love of God, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God, which is beyond knowledge, greater than knowledge. The Greeks always loved just plain knowledge. New Agers loved knowledge. But the living God wants love, the agape love, to be mediated. And even the agape love is mediated out by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a connection. And we read in that verse that as Paul is literally praying for the Ephesians, showing us what a Spirit-led, in the will of God, faith-filled, Spirit-guided prayer is all about in that chapter. Chapter 3, verse 14 on down. We read in one part of that where it says this, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What is that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. What is that power? The power of the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you and on you. Wow. Now unto him who is able to do, there's a Greek word, huperekperiousou. He's able to abound. He's able to go beyond our. He can blow your wig off. He can knock. I mean, listen. He can bulge you over. What he's able to do. Nothing is impossible. One that believes. And you know what? Who's going to aid us in being able to pray in faith and pray in the will of God and praying in obedience to the Word of God? You know who's going to be able to help us know what it is we ought to pray for certain people, for our culture, the things around us? Oh man, it is. It's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of fire. Man, the Spirit of fire upon you. You're going to be a prayer warrior. You're going to take time in prayer. There's just no two ways about it. You're either going to grieve the Spirit of God, quench the Spirit of God, be a lazy, dead Christian, like in Sardis or Laodicea. I bet you they didn't pray much. But I tell you what, in Acts chapter 4, where they were praying as servants of God to be lit up with the Lord Jesus, they wanted more boldness. They didn't want to be shut down. They wanted more boldness. And God blessed them with more boldness. And he filled them again. And as they prayed in the Spirit, guided by the Spirit of God, they incorporated. And listen, Spirit-led praying, it flows with the Word of God. The Word of God just flows in your head and heart and mind as you are praying, as the Spirit of God gives you more faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As he gives you more grace, it's the Word of grace. As he gives you more life, it's the Word of life. Living, powerful words. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, right? So listen, in your praying, you're going to have a lot of that. So I'm going to go over just real quickly here some of the aspects of the book, Prayer on Fire, and pray that we are going to be people that are on fire for the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, chapter 1, here's the questions as we go through it, okay? Just simply this. How is God and fire associated? Now again, the book's going to reference just simply, and I don't need you to write an entire book on this subject or whatever else. Just little simple things as we go through this. Well, it's the fire is associated in the sense of God. God is a consuming fire. We see him showing up in the fire with Moses. You can see a number of examples. One of the great verses you should remember throughout this entire time is 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In the imperative, the Holy Spirit himself says, the Word of God says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Not from your fears, not from nursing wounds of the past, not from disobedience, not from critical spirit, not from being in the flesh, not from being, you know, negative all the time. Listen, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Why? The Spirit of God is in you to exalt Christ, to communicate to you, to teach you, to cause you to grow, to lead you, to help you bear fruit for Christ and the kingdom of God, to make you very effective in the era of prayer. Listen, as the book shares here, is the writer just simply connects the concept of the manifest presence of God. The sense that God is with you all the time, but there's a time when you just feel overwhelmed. There's sometimes you feel this presence all over the place. There's times in revival when you just feel God just filling the air. You know, you can just feel him throughout the air, the felt presence of God, the moving presence of God. Like we read in the Gospel of Luke in the beginning, when Simeon says the Spirit of God was upon him, the Spirit of God revealed him, the Spirit of God moved him. The manifest presence of God. When's the last time the Spirit of God spoke to you, moved you, directed you, burdened you, communicated to you? The manifest presence of this, you know, listen, God is in you at all times. You know, just accept the Word of God by faith so that you can experience what it says. Receive all things by faith, manifest them in obedience to the Lord. Christ never leaves you, you know that. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, the scripture says in Hebrews 13. And it's five times in the Greek, I will never, never, you know, never will he leave you. So just take his immediate unceasing presence as his great gift. You know why? Because he wants to have fellowship with you. He's come to live in you. And just simply bow and acknowledge his unceasing, unbroken presence in your life, his forever presence. Jesus said it in the Gospel of John, in talking about the Holy Spirit. He said he's the Spirit of truth. He'll be with you forever. That's a long time. That means now, today, this moment, this very moment. Now, we got to get down and just, you know, apologize to the Holy Spirit for forgetting him so many times and not listening to him, the promptings. A yielded life and obedience. Man, the Holy Spirit's going to have his way in your life. Well, in chapter 2, we just simply say this. What areas does the fire of God touch? The areas. And you're going to find there the mentioning of God the Father, the Son, the Spirit of God. The Father in the Old Testament, you know, the showing up. He's a consuming fire. He shows up in the burning bush with Moses. There's a sense of the Father's presence in that way. We see Jesus also in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, as he is full of the Holy Spirit and ready to pour out ministry. Of course, he comes to meet John the Baptist. John the Baptist cries out, look, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Man, we have God on the face of the earth. Man, the whole earth should have shook as Jesus Christ walked. Humble he was. Powerful, he still is. We see that presence and that fire flowing from the Father, flowing in and through the Son. When somebody touched the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that power had gone out of him. A person had been radically healed. Power had gone out. In Luke 5:17, it said, the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. The power of the Lord. And then we have reference to the Holy Spirit in that chapter, the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire. What better illustration on that day? Would to God that would happen. All of us doesn't have to. That was the initiatory pouring out as Joel the prophet, God spoke through him. Actually, the Holy Spirit moved on Joel to put that and inscripturate that prophecy and moved on Peter as he was filled with the Holy Spirit and stood up and said, this is that which Joel spoke about. Those tongues of fire, representation of the purity of God, the fire of God, the presence of God. And listen, believer, God wants to be an evidencing his presence, his kingdom, his life, his purity, his beauty through your life. Every spirit-filled believer in the book of Acts was seeable, knowable, walking into the room. Look, Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Read it for yourselves. Hey, let's go on to chapter 3 just real quick. Let's touch on chapter 3. I ask you to list 6 main points, and I know you're going to say, well, there was a 7th. Very good. Very good. You're right. Well, let's just touch on those 6 real quick. Referring to the Holy Spirit himself, he is the fire. He is a fire. He's a burning fire. We're commanded not to put out his fire in our life. As we live in faith and obedience, that fire will remain. Matter of fact, in Acts 9:22, when Saul of Tarsus got saved, became Paul, Ananias came over, laid his hands on him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to preach Jesus, of course. And it says in Acts 9:22, he grew more and more powerful. Because why? He didn't put out the Spirit's fire. He yielded the purpose of the fire of God in his life to exalt Christ, be a witness of Christ, serve Christ, be a part of the Great Commission. And listen, a Spirit-filled, on-fire believer is a far better spiritual warrior and can not only be aware of, but do spiritual warfare when it comes up. And obviously, it will be a part of your life, and it will come up more and more in this ramping up in the last days. That's why I'm saying that we should be ramped up too, and be unquenchable in our walk with the Lord Jesus. That's what that verse says in Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench. Don't put a wet blanket. The wet blanket of fear, the wet blanket of inactivity, the wet blanket of laziness, the wet blanket of selfishness, the wet blanket of criticism, the wet blanket of, you know, what's your wet blanket? Did you know it was the will of God to be filled with the Spirit of God, be filled with the fire of God? It is the will of God. It is abnormal in the believer's life not to be filled. That's why Jesus had to come to Laodicea and say, man, I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth. They couldn't even see what was going on. The Holy Spirit is the fire of God. Listen, under point 2, he is a person. God, the Holy Spirit, he, personal pronoun, as you read again in John's Gospel, chapter 12, 13, 14, specifically 15, 16 also, you're going to see again, he is the Holy Spirit of God. Under point 3 in that chapter, we have a reference to the Holy Spirit's deity. Under point 4, the indwelling. Under point 5, the help that the Holy Spirit would give us in the area of prayer. Man, and that's the big one. We'll mention the Greek word a little bit later on in this, but praying. Romans chapter 8 tells us a lot about how in our weaknesses the Holy Spirit will help us and even pray through us, interpreting those groans and those pains in our lives and communicating that to the Father. Even a groan has language to it. If you've had a child, you know what that is. Whenever you've groaned, you know what you're saying. Whenever you've held your head down and wept, you know what you're saying. So does the Holy Spirit. And dear friends, he can communicate that to the Lord Jesus for you. Ain't going to be one tear that drops from your eye to the ground that the Lord Jesus doesn't know the meaning of. The Spirit of God sees the tears of the world, the pain of the world, and the Holy Spirit wants to use you to pray for that world and to bring it out of the depths of hell, to snatch them from the fires of hell and the burning of this satanic deception. It's the passion and fire of God not to lose one soul, not willing that, you know, God is not willing that even one soul, you know, would be lost, but that all would come to repentance. Let the Holy Spirit help you, student, disciple, Christian. Under point 6, he's invisible. He's not seeable in the sense that we can look out in front of us. But you know what? I want to challenge you on one thing. John the Baptist, when he was seeing Jesus and he cried out, you know, look, behold, the Lamb of God. John was filled with the Holy Spirit and recognized Jesus as Jesus was simply walking up to him. He recognized him. And then the scripture says this, that John saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus. saw the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can see the Holy Spirit move in the congregation, move in people's lives. I've seen it again and again and again on demonized people as they are encountered by the authority and the very presence of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it again and again as a non-believer in Christ is melted by the presence of God, being drawn and convicted and convinced. You see the work of the Spirit of God in that way and see the work of the Spirit of God in your life. And as you're yielded to Jesus and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, out of simply faith and obedience, listen, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, like the old hymn says, but to trust and obey. People will see God in you. They're going to see the presence of God. You cannot miss a Spirit-filled, Spirit-clothed person. They are not a hypocrite. They are not a racist. They are not a dead works, fearful, you know, weak believer. Look at the book of Acts at all of them. And that's intended for you and I. That should give us all hope that God has intended for us to be very strong in the Lord. I don't care how weak you were. Quit using all those excuses. That's what Moses did. He said, I don't have a mouth. God had to say back, am I not the God of the mouth? God will take care of all those problems of yours. Listen, you surrender to Jesus, you stand up in faith, you begin to obey the Word of God, and you're going to find that your life is going to grow and become stronger and stronger and stronger. The Holy Spirit, you'll be made more and more powerful. Acts 9:22. Yes, even you. Yes, ladies. Some of you loners in your house, yes, even you. Be a great prayer warrior for the Lord. Listen, I want to mention also point number 7 in chapter 3. You know what it is, don't you? To make Jesus known. To make Jesus known. If there's anybody in the world that wants to make Jesus Christ known, it's God the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody that has the wisdom, listen, Stephen was filled with the Spirit and the wisdom of God. Listen, the greatest critics, those that were hating him, could not stand up against the Spirit or wisdom by which he spoke. You want to have wisdom in sharing Christ? You want to be able to get out there? Listen, be filled with the fire of God. You know, repenting of all sin, yielding to Jesus Christ, committing your life to the Great Commission to serve Jesus, and just simply ask him to fill you, surrender to him, ask him again and again down the road whenever you've been, you know, tempted to quench, or if you've sinned in some way to grieve the Spirit of God, repent of that, believer. Don't sit around. Don't let it pile up on you. Throw down that fear. Throw down that worry. Throw down that other junk. Man, move into the most exciting life possible is to live in the Lord Jesus, in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Well, chapter 4 in this book, Prayer on Fire, is great too. And I just simply asked the question, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, listen, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So what is the purpose of the power of God? We'll read it in the last chapter of the book of Luke. When Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until power from on high comes down so that repentance of, you know, it was all about exploding, you know, Christ out to the rest of the world. So don't just say, I want the Holy Spirit to feel good. I want the Holy Spirit to have this gift or that charismatic giftings. Charismatic giftings, man, praise God. God manifests giftings in our lives and uses us in those ways. But the gifts are not the same thing as the clothing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. The gifts of the Spirit of God are not the same thing as the clothing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. If I have the charismatic gift of mercy, then I'm going to be showing mercy in my acts of witnessing and sharing and have an incredible ability to pour out mercy towards those who are really hard cases. If I have the charismatic gift of leadership, then I'm going to lead and so forth and guide and help steer a small group or, you know, and lead. But if I am clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, I am going to be filled with Jesus Christ, filled with the power of God. The Holy Spirit will be recognizable in my life, even by others. And listen, I'm going to be filled with Jesus, filled with power, filled with agape love. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a passion for souls. I want to be able to get out there and share Jesus with more and more and more people. Every Spirit-filled witness in the book of Acts was a clear-cut, committed, passionate soul winner. Every one of them had fruit. Every one of them had the expressed help of the Lord Jesus Christ as we read. Now get this verse. Get your pens ready. Your pen's going to be so on fire right now, it's going to write right off the page. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. The disciples, you and I, the disciples, they went out everywhere. Look at the testimony. They went out everywhere. And it says in our translation, and preached. Actually, it's the Greek word for evangelized. They went out everywhere evangelizing, soul winning. And the Lord worked with them. And he confirmed his word, the word of the gospel, by the signs that followed. In the context of the book of Acts, the miracles, the healings, the signs, the deliverances, the earth-shaking issues, powers, miraculous things, extraordinary things, it all occurred in the context of a spirit-filled witness on fire for Jesus Christ who knew how to pray, knew how to witness, knew how to trust the Lord, and you just couldn't stop them. You just couldn't stop them. They were unstoppable. Listen, Christians, they were unstoppable. You could not stop them. Acts 5:42, you could not stop them. If you stay in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, your fire will grow. You'll become stronger and stronger. You're just not going to be able to stop. You're going to love Jesus too much. You're going to feel the heart of the Father and his love for the world. God so loved the world. The Holy Spirit's going to communicate the Father's love for the world. That's why he sent the Son. That's why the Son was willing to give his life on the cross. That's what it's all about. More important than tea and crumpets, football, or the latest car. Fashion. Yes. Let the Holy Spirit grip you. Would others say that you evidence the fire of God in your worship, in your love for the Lord, in your prayer life, in your witness? I hope that is true. Would to God be true of all believers everywhere. Would to God the whole body of Christ. Would the God that Wesley would once again stand up in England and cry it out in the street corners. John Wesley was preaching, fired up by the Spirit of God, preaching to a crowd in an alley, and somebody threw a rock. It hit, struck him on the head. He began to bleed. With the sleeve of his shirt, he wiped the blood off and continued to preach Jesus Christ. Get on fire and stay on fire. Let your prayers be filled with the fire of God. Chapter 5 in the book. In what ways have you experienced the fire of the Holy Spirit in your prayers? Well, you're going to look in that chapter concerning a Greek word that flows out of the book of Romans chapter 8. Sunanti lembanatai. Now listen, that is a powerful, big, long, three-part Greek word. And he does a great job in breaking down the meaning lambano, from the root word lambano, to grasp, to grip, to take. And here in the context of that word anti, to take up another's cause, joining in a endless union, he says. I think that's great. And you have this word, the whole of the word has, as he explains it there in chapter 5, is the Spirit of God is there to get down there in the trenches with you, to help you along, to take up the cause, to join you in endless help in causing you to pray and to hear his voice and to be guided. You've got to give him time. You've got to respect the Holy Spirit. You've got to let him grip you, grab a hold of your life. You got to get before the Lord before you even begin to worship and pray and intercede and just simply yield. Acknowledge the Spirit of the Lord. And you know what? He's going to be operating in your life. Don't ignore him when he speaks to you and taps you on the shoulder of your conscience. As he speaks into your conscience and shows you the writing on the wall and the age that we're living in. When he prompts you to witness to that lost soul so that they would not go to hell because Jesus wants to get to them. As he prompts you to pray for that person at church that needs the prayer. As he reveals to you the needs that certain people have and gives you the very ability to pray for those needs even when the person won't tell you out loud what they are. The Holy Spirit can tell you what they are. He can even tell you what your needs are better than you know. You can even pray in the realm and presence and power of the Holy Spirit and simply say, Holy Spirit, what do I need to pray about myself? I was going through the prayer mapping one time, and I think I've shared this story before, where I was praying through so many, for so long, you know, with all the other needs and people and things. The Lord reminded me and just simply spoke to my heart and said, you know, as you're praying for others and looking for me to give you insight in their life and how to pray for them effectively, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? Why don't you ask me what do you need? And so I did. I said, Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, as I have yielded to listen to you to pray for many other people in their needs, I'm yielded to you right now as I begin to lift up my own needs. What is it that I need? And the Lord spoke to me. And I wrote it down and began to pray in that. And I went to church that night to preach on a Wednesday night. And before I got up to preach, we do a lot of praying at the church. And a group got around me and was praying for me. And one of the ladies said to me, a deacon's wife, I've been praying for you this week. And the Lord spoke to me and he told me, and she said exactly the same. She said, the Lord put it on my heart to pray for you in this and this and this, this way. She named it. And I looked at her in amazement. The same Spirit of God communicated to her, telling her what some of the needs that I had. You know what it was about? Pray for that, because I was in, there was so much going on, and that I needed a sense of peace and rest. Pray that the peace of God would rule and flow in my heart and life. That's what the Lord told me to pray, that Arene, peace, would settle in my soul in the midst of all the things. And the Holy Spirit told that lady to pray the same way. I'm praying the Holy Spirit's going to tell me how to pray for some of you. I'm encouraging you to just simply prayer map me. Take a page out and not just what your opinions will be. No, this is different. What does the Holy Spirit say to you about praying for me? Mark it down. He can give it to you quick. He can give it to you quick. You know what happens in Acts chapter 8? There is Philip filled with the Spirit of God. He's out there witnessing and sharing. And as he's done in one place, he's headed on to another place. An angel gives him some directions. When he gets there, you know what happens? He literally quotes that says, the Holy Spirit said, go stand over there by that chariot. You go read that for yourself. You go read that for yourself in Acts chapter 8. Always read. Every time I give you a reference, I try to do it by chapter and not just by verse. I want you to read it in context. The Holy Spirit said, go stand over there by that chariot. And you know what Philip did? He didn't mosey on over there. Look at the scripture says. You look what it says. Look it up. You're waiting for me to tell you, aren't you? It says that he ran. When the Holy Spirit said, go over there and stand, he got up and ran. No wonder he was so saturated. No wonder he was a living revival. He was a fire starter. Just ask the little city of Samaria, whether you ask the cult priest Simon, in Acts chapter 8, whether he was a fire starter. He came in there and turned that whole city right side up in the right way. Well, the Holy Spirit, you can quote the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't simply tell you, simple, but it doesn't have to be some long dissertation. He won't use great big words that you can't understand. Simply speak to you. And so I just want to challenge you to begin that way. You can do this in all the years. That's why we use that prayer mapping, those pages. I like to use them to, when I'm praying, to write down what I feel the Holy Spirit has said to me about praying for this person, for that group, in warfare. It can be, you know, again, praying in the Spirit in the area of mercy, grace, and things like that, but also in warfare. The Holy Spirit will guide you and reveal to you and direct you and show you how to pray in the area of warfare. And what to pray against, how do you know, by the authority of the Lord, what to pray down, especially in the days, because we haven't seen anything yet. We have not seen, we've seen nothing yet concerning the rise of the satanic empire. Well, all the more for us to shine, all the more for us to demonstrate the kingdom of God, all for us more to call people out of that darkness and into the light and tell them to repent and come to Christ. Chapter 5, great chapter on helping you to learn a little bit about experiencing the Spirit in your prayer life. Chapter 6, what are demonic and human counterfeits to prayer on fire? Well, of course, demons, you know, they lead cultists, they guide Satanists, they guide them the demons can put them on a demonic fire to do their rituals, to pray their stuff, to lead them, guide them. Demons speak to them. Please understand that. Forget the skeptics. They're not going to help you. Believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God, both in its written statements and instruction and its models of experiences. And you're going to find as you launch out in faith and obedience, you will see the same Lord Jesus today as he was then. Think the Bible says something about that somewhere, doesn't it? Doesn't it say that in Hebrews? The same yesterday, today, and forever? That's Jesus. Same Jesus that encountered Saul of Tarsus and brought him to his knees and led him to complete repentance and filled him with the Spirit of God and used his life. That's the same Jesus. Chapter 6, you need to look over some of the, you know, anytime a demon is operating in any way at all, even the audacity to infiltrate churches and, you know, operate in a way, he's going to lead people away from Jesus. He's going to lead people away from the Word of God. He's going to lead people outside the will of God. He will not use the Word of God. Demon spirits aren't going to use the Word of God or exalt Jesus. They're going to mislead and make people, you know, get people off track. And they just, you know, certain human, you know, emotion things are good. But listen, no, the Spirit of God, you know the voice of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. John 10, right? John 10. Chapter 7, page 95. Have you climbed out of the box? You know, have you got onto the field of the supernatural grace and working of the Lord Jesus in obedience to Christ? Great commission. Be committed to it, step out in it, and you will find that God will work in the same ways he did in the book of Acts. Well, chapter 8 deals with how is prayer on fire expressed by you in your home? Well, I tell you what, I prayer met my wife, my daughter, our situation at home. I, you know, through all these years, we've got to help pray for all of our family members and see moms, dads, grandparents, uncles, brothers, sisters. Many come to Jesus. Holy Spirit can help me to pray for my wife, telling me her needs. Holy Spirit, and I give the Holy Spirit time as I pray for my daughter and ask the Lord and see the things that she needs in her life and pray for our household and so forth and all the friends that come in to get a sense of the Spirit and praying for them. So study over chapter 8 and again, practice praying in the Spirit of God over your family, household, so forth. Holy Spirit can remind you of many people. Chapter 9, how is prayer on fire expressed in your church? Man, then you be the fire starter. Then you be the person. You don't have to be yelling and screaming to do it. You can be in there just being led. You can be there at the end of the service going to someone and say, you know, the Lord wants me to pray for you in this way and pray for them and see the effect. People will catch on. Be the spark that gets a fire going. Listen, be a fire starter. Don't wait for everybody else. Just do it beautifully and humbly and do it rightly. You know, and don't put anybody down. Just show, let your light so shine that the fleshliness and Laodicea spirit and all the rest of that junk can be convicted and dealt with. You be the one that prays for revival at your church. You be the one that helps start prayer meetings and get out with the soul-winning teams. You be the one. Why not? Why not you? Why not you? Why are you always waiting for somebody else, huh? Why not you? Chapter 10 in the book. What is the concept of holy backdraft? Well, you know what? That's a tremendous illustration, and for fire, you know, for firemen and women, that's a tough thing to deal with. The backdraft, you know, of a fire flowing, you know, after it's just a tough thing. You let that oxygen go down, and the fire is still in there, and you open that door, and that oxygen hits, and that fire sucks right back out through that door. Well, taken in the good sense that your life can help initiate a great explosion spiritually. That's what happened in the Great Awakenings, the first one and the second one. That's what happened with some of the great prayer warriors and books like The Kneeling Christian and Praying Hyde and Rees Howes and Jesse Penn Lewis and all the others. But don't wait, there's 10,000 times that as far as great prayer warriors and witnesses for Christ around the world today. Some of the greatest and biggest churches are in the world today. There's a 2 million member church in Nigeria. There's a 1 million member church in Seoul, Korea. David Cho, Pastor David Cho. 20,000 seat auditorium. They fill it 10 times every Sunday. They have to tell people that came to the first service, go home and let the other people come. They got over 70,000 small groups that meet throughout Seoul, Korea, where they pray and they go out witnessing and they share Christ. They're exhibiting the book of Acts. Well, get it started. Get two or three together. Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, there am I in their presence. That's all it takes. The teams in the book of Acts, they were just two people, three people, four people when they were going out, shaking up towns, leading people to Christ, praying, seeing the miracles of God, the healing, the deliverances, and so forth. You do it. You do it. God's commissioned you. He gave you authority. He gave you armor. You know, and you do it. He gave you the clothing of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God to pray. You do it. Get down before the Lord. The Holy Spirit will make you a fire. In the world around you will see it. and just simply say, I don't care what they think. I love God and I love Christ, and I'm going to obey God no matter what it takes. Like Daniel in the book of Daniel, he didn't care. He's going to resolve not to be defiled, not to be compromised, stay in obedience, and God used him. Even the pagan king and the pagan occultists would say, he's got the spirit of the holy gods in him. Well, they didn't understand God's not gods, the living God, but they understood that he had the presence, that he had a presence in his life and on his life they couldn't handle. Even in the most demonically manifested town in all of history, Babylon, that city with 56 temples. So let me encourage you right now, I don't care how bad it gets, shine for Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, how was and is Christ on fire? Well, you take a look at it. Appendix 1. Are you a fire starter? Have you done the urgency survey? Let me encourage you right now as a believer in Jesus Christ that you would just be ready to do all that the Lord was going to lead you to do. If you're taking this course, take it in the Spirit. Let the Lord show you and guide you and direct you through it all. But it's not going to be just reading and studying materials. It's going to, if there's anything I've done over through all the years is to try to move people out into obedience and into doing the will of God. Because in leading folks to receive Christ, to receive all that is in Christ, and then to step out in obedience. Listen, we receive it all in grace, by faith. We unleash it all when we step out in faith and obedience to Jesus, when we begin to see the presence and power of God, just flowing out of your life. Let your life be a holy river of Christ and his power, his kingdom, his let nothing stop you. Let nothing stop you. Let's get just so saturated with the living God. Father, we just pray right now, God. We're asking right now that you use our lives, saturate our lives, your presence, your power, your grace. Saturate the students taking the class, all the students here in the United States and the local group and our friends in England. Hey, this is Russ in the organization Shatter the Darkness. Again, find us on the web, shatterthedarkness.net. We're adding to the web. I know we got a lot of things to put on there. We are so busy with everything. Keep us in your prayers, but give yourselves time. Give yourselves time before the Lord. Let him operate in and through your life, dear sweet friend. Some of you I might never get to see this side of heaven. But guess what? We're going to see each other and be able to hug each other in heaven and see. And oh, listen, maybe someday we'll get to see each other at some conference here. Either way, serve the living Christ. He is worthy to be served. Yield to the Spirit of God. Be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in the fire of the Holy Spirit.